Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom to you all, my dear friends, dear brothers and sisters. I trust that you have your Bibles with you, and I would like to, today, in this ministry meeting, to continue in the study of the Gospel of John, Yohanan, and to continue on in the fifth chapter, especially as we have dealt with already in our previous meeting, until the 18th verse of chapter 5, and in this ministry meeting we'll continue from verse 19. Now it is very interesting because verses 19 to the end of the chapter of John chapter 5 to verse 47, in these verses together we have the declarations that the Lord Yeshua Jesus, our Messiah, declared and claimed that he had a divine nature. Now, I know many times people do not realize that, first of all, that Yeshua is divine. In fact, if he is not divine, if the Messiah is not divine, he could never be the Mashiach. He could never save a sinner. If he is only a man that has sin in him, like us all, then he could never be the Moshiach, the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. And if he was born of a relationship of parents that were sinners, then he would be a sinner. But beloved friend, our Lord Yeshua the Messiah is the Emmanuel. He is the one that came from heaven, God with us. He is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. He is the God with us. He is the Son of God. He is the Creator of the universe. He is the Upholder of all things. Of Him we have already read in chapter 1 and verse 1 of this very same Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is so fundamental to understand for us all if we are going to truly grasp the fact that there is a Redeemer, there is a Moshiach, a Mashiach, a Messiah, a Savior. And no man, the best of men, whether it is Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, David, or whether it is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Shaul, Paul, Shimon, Petros, the best of men in this world are only men like you, like me, and all of us are sinners by nature who needed forgiveness. But how different it is with respect to our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who is the eternal Son, the eternal God. He is the Emmanuel promised by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah already years ago to the people of Israel. Today I would like to only read verses 19 to 29 in John chapter 5, and I would like us to move along in the study of this fifth chapter, and we can see how the Lord Jesus, the Mashiach, defending himself and showing to the spiritual leaders of our people of old Israel that he indeed is the one that God the Father is the one that is equal to the Father and that he is the one that the Father sent to this world. Ha'aba sent et Haben, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. I'm reading from verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Men, Ben Ha'adam. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And I'm going to stop, beloved friend, here, dear brothers and sisters, and I would like just to move along here in this fifth chapter, as we learn about the person of our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, who is indeed the one that is the eternal God, the eternal Son, the eternal God the Son. Now, you remember in the previous message, in the first 18 verses of John chapter 5, we have dealt with the healing of this person that was sitting there in Beit Chasda for years, and how the Lord Jesus the Messiah have healed this person on that Shabbat day by the pool of Beit Chasda. You remember that we have learned it, as we have seen that this man that was healed on that Shabbat day, that he was for 38 years, had an infirmity. And finally the Lord Jesus the Messiah came and said to him, "Will thou be made whole?" And you remember, we read that he says, "I have no man," this man said, this man that had infirmity for 38 years, and Yeshua said, "Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was whole. He took up his bed and he walked, and on that day it was a Shabbat day. And of course, the Lord Yeshua was accused, and they persecuted Yeshua, the spiritual leaders of Israel, and they wanted to slay him, as we read in verse 16. And Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." In other words, the Shabbat was given in order to rest, but when there are needs, we need to meet those needs. And he indeed met the need of this man that had been experiencing this infirmity for 38 years. And you remember the last verse that we have read in verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only that he broke the Shabbat, but that he also said that God was his Father," and notice how, making himself equal with God. You might not understand that, Even I might not understand that, but apparently the leaders of Israel did understand very well that Yeshua, the Messiah, claimed to be equal with God. And from there on, we can see now that the Lord is now continuing to explain and to claim and to demonstrate that he indeed is divine person, equal to God the Father. Now the triunity, the teaching of the triunity is essential. It is very, very hard, humanly speaking, to grasp it. Only the Holy Spirit of God can unfold this before us. But the word Elohim in the Hebrew language is a plurality. There are not three gods, there is only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But this one God is Echad, is consisting of a triunity, Ha'aba, Ha'ben, Ha'ruach, the Father, the Son, the Spirit. This very same God created you and I, created Adam and Eve in the image and the likeness of God, Spirit, Soul, and body. You and I are created in the image and the likeness of God. We are a triune person because we were created in the image and the likeness of God. We, each and every one of us, have a human spirit, and we have a human soul, and we have a body that houses the human spirit and the human soul. We are a triune person, each and every one of us, because we were created in the image and the likeness of our God. And from here on, you notice in verses 19 to verse 23, the Lord Jesus the Messiah claimed to be equal with God, equal with the Father. Now, you notice this. I just want to mention that I think it is very, very important for us to understand. Our people of Israel understood very well that only God has able to open heaven for the human race. Only God can do so. No man by nature, no sinner can ever do so. You remember in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 28, we read in verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12, the Lord shall open unto you, unto thee, his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. This is what Moshe said to the people of Israel before Israel have entered into the promised land, that God, the Lord, shall open unto Israel his good treasure, the heaven, to give to Israel in the land rain in its due season. So, only God can bring anyone to heaven. Only God can open heaven. And this is what Moshe wanted to instruct Israel to realize. In fact, only a divine person not only can open heaven, but also to enable a person to give birth to another person. According to the book of Genesis, chapter 30, we read concerning Rachel. And God remembered Rachel, Rachel, the mother of Israel. And God hearkened unto her to open her womb. Here is, again, God, who is divine. He's able to open heaven. He's able to open the womb of a woman in order to provide birth for a human being here in this world. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is claiming to be a divine person. And that's why it was so hard for the people of Israel to grasp it, like it is hard today for many people from among all the nations of the world. God also promised to Israel that in a future day, he will restore the people of Israel back to the land. not fulfilling all the promises that he had promised the people of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we read in verse 13, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." See, the graves in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 13 is the nations unto which Israel, the Jewish people, were scattered. And God will open the grave and in a supernatural way will restore the people of Israel back to the land. Now, why this is mentioned here? It is simply because the Lord Jesus shows us in the next verses that he has an equality with God, and therefore he can do the things that only God can do. He is the one who can revive a nation. He can raise a people from the grave. He can open the heaven. He can open the womb. He can open the tomb. He is the only one who could do so for mankind. Now, notice what the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is saying in these next verses, verses 19 on to verse 23. In verse 19, Yeshua answered by saying to the spiritual leaders of Israel who were accusing him, making himself to be equal with God. And listen, beloved friend, what Yeshua is saying. He said to them in verse 19, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." You see what he is really saying? That whatever God the Father does, the Son does exactly what the Father does. Why? Because there is a harmony. There is a unity in the Godhead. Whatever God the Father does, God the Son does. Whatever God the Spirit does, God the Father does. The harmony among the triunity of the Godhead. This is the beauty that we learn here, that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, claiming to be a divine person. Otherwise, the spiritual leaders of Israel will not say that he claiming, making himself to be equal with God. You see, they understood it, even though you and I may not understand it today, but the spiritual leaders of Israel did understand that Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, saying, whatever the Son does, he does exactly what the Father is doing. Now, if you remember Psalms that we have in the Tanakh, the many Psalms, the you might say the prophetic messages that we get through the Psalms that God had given to Israel. In the second Psalm, this very interesting verse, and I just want to read to you this verse. 7, 8, and 9 we read, "I will declare a decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In other words, God is saying to his Son, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." Now we can learn from this verse that the Lord Jesus is God the Son, but now he became in incarnation, he became now the Son of God also in his humanity. When we read in other passages, in Acts chapter 13, we read in connection with his resurrection, he became God the Son in his humanity. He became this man that is also not only in his incarnation, but also in a resurrection. He is called the Son. So he is God the Son in his divine nature. He is the Son in his incarnation. He is the Son in his resurrection. And God said, kiss the Son, verse 12 of Psalm 2, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. You see, again, back to John chapter 5. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also does the Son likewise. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is indeed the Son of God who became the Son of Man. You know, in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 30, we read these very, very interesting words concerning the Son, who is the eternal Son of God, who is the creator of the universe, but also became a man. We read in verse 4, who has ascended up to heaven and descended? Of course, it is God. Who has gathered the wind in his fists? The answer, it is God. Who has bound the waters in a garment? And the answer again, beloved friend, it is truly God. And then it said, who has established all the ends of the earth? And of course, the answer is God. And then the one who questioned Agur, the son of Yakeh, he continued and he says in verse 4 at the end, what is his name? Well, we know that the name of God is Jehovah. Is the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, this sacred name of the Lord. And then he continued and he said, and what is his son's name? If you can tell, can you tell? And we know very well, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So here's the Son. Here's the Son that does exactly what the Father does because he is co-equal with the Father. And of course, that same God the Son became a man. And now as a man, sinless man, he is submissive to God the Father. In verse 20 of John chapter 5, we read, the Father loveth the Son. And I'm reading again verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. In other words, what is the greater works that he will be shown, greater works than these? Well, you remember in chapter 5, he healed the man on that Shabbat day. The man was for 38 years, had an infirmity, he could not walk. And Yeshua, God the Son, as man, told him, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. John 5 and verse 8. And he walked immediately. Who can do that? Unless God is the one that allowed this to happen. Well, here is God the Son, as man, in the person of Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. And he healed this man, which was for 38 years in infirmity. And you know, beloved friend, in the whole history of Israel, how God had performed miracles, miracle after miracle, in order to take the people of Israel out of bondage, the 10 plagues that were placed upon Egypt, the opening of the Red Sea, and the meeting the need of our people, of all the people of Israel in the wilderness, providing the man from heaven, providing the need for them, water out of the rock. All these are miracles. And then the Jordan River, when Israel entered into the promised land, God have opened the Jordan River, stopped the Jordan River in one place and allowed the rest of the water come down, and Israel went dry shod to the other side into the promised land. Miracles that God had provided for his own people Israel. And it was not miracles in order, it's not games, it's a serious miracle that God provided for his people to meet their needs. And here he provided a miracle for a man who was sick for 38 years. But the Lord Yeshua is saying to the spiritual leaders of Israel. The Father loved the Son, and He showed Him all things that He Himself is doing, and He will show Him greater works than these, that He may marvel. In other words, He's saying to the spiritual leaders, you watch and see how much more the Lord will show you all through me as I'm here in this world. This is wonderful. And this expression, the Father loves the Son, remind us of Abraham and Yitzhak, represented there as God the Father and God the Son in Genesis chapter 22, when God said to Abraham, our father, take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and offering him upon the mount of Moriah for a sacrifice. And you remember how Abraham obeyed God and he took Isaac, Yitzchak, his son, to that mountain of Moriah. And this is a wonderful picture of God the Father and God the Son. And indeed, here we see the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, was sent by the Father to this world in order to become a sacrifice for mankind. So the Father loved the Son. We already read about it in verse 35 of chapter 3. The Father loves the Son and has given all things unto His hand. Here once again, for the Father loves the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself He does. In verse 21, we continue in our chapter, beloved brothers and sisters, Yeshua said, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.